June 30th. Can you believe it? 2015. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing here is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. We want to welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible, including our guests.
Our show is sponsored by, for which we're very grateful, Go Raw Natural Food. Go Raw is just the perfect combination of health and taste, all combined in a crunchy little munchy delight. And several other products, too, besides the crunchy ones.
We'll be talking about Go Raw more during the show.
Yeah.
But tonight's show is co-sponsored by...
Who knew?
Who knew?
There are so many things that I would have thought otherwise, and I stumbled upon them, and I went, who knew?
Yeah, like who knew that I would be a 76-year-old lady living in a naturist resort in the Los Gatos Hills and working as the hospitality director?
Who knew I'd be a short order cook at this very same naturist resort, actually? The other night, one of our members had a birthday party, fifth birthday party, and they were so lovely. They brought food for everybody, and a lot of the staff showed up.
Anniversary. They're a little older than five.
Who knew? Yes, having said that. So we were all gathered, and it's a very interesting experience to be naked with other people in public and just have it be such a nonchalant experience. There was quite a diversity of people, I would say, age-wise and shape-wise and everything, and yet somehow it was all just like down to the bare necessity of our physical life.
Well, the nice thing was nobody was looking at your body in a way that would make you uncomfortable, which they could do even if I were wearing clothes. And you tend to look more into people's eyes when you're naked because you don't want to be looking at their naked body.
Right.
So you make it and get a real contact with them. You really look at them when you're talking, because if your eyes wander, it could be troublesome.
Yes, but when people come here, we have a special class that's how to keep your eyes from wandering. I not wander class, as not to be confused with I not wonder. We want to keep the wonder going, but the wandering eyes, not in a naturist resort.
Yeah, and every time you catch somebody, they say, who knew?
Right. That's true, they do. But the other thing I want to focus on tonight, because this is the 1st of July tomorrow, and then it's going to be the 4th of July, and here we are again, celebrating the anniversary of our day we declared independence from you-know-who.
No. The ones that still have queens and kings. Could have had that if we hadn't declared it. So we create whole bunches of them, like we have Queen Kardashian and Queen Aniston. And
our celebrities are, but we have so many more this way, and they don't fight each other. They don't go to war against each other,
well,
generally speaking, other than ego wars. But speaking of ego wars, the thing I wanted to focus on is what makes this country, this experiment, distinct? What makes it worth applying ourselves to? We talk so much in this country about freedom and American freedom, and we stand for freedom and democracy. And yet, one could argue that there are a lot of ways in which our quote-unquote democracy, actually a republic, isn't working. Now, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again.
Who knew?
America has a mission, a very clear mission statement. For those of you who may have read my email announcing tonight's show, I compare the American mission statement is equivalent to what I call the evolutionary imperative.
Who knew?
And for those who are more religious / spiritual oriented, the will of God. In other words, the will of God equals the evolutionary imperative. In other words, what evolution is trying its best to achieve. And as far as we can tell, doing a pretty doggone good job of it. Way to go, evolution.
We are the prototype of conscious evolution. We are the prototype of communal or societal evolution. We started out as little fetuses, and we change, and we have thoughts, and we do all sorts of things. Society, as I see it from all the newspapers that I don't read.
Well, we actually started off as two little cells merging, and our chromosomes revolved around each other in a unique combination. It's called the double helix. It's the way the blueprint of the body in the chromosomes round each other. But speaking of blueprint of the body, let's talk about the blueprint of Body America. Because I think you could almost say this mission is the very DNA of America. And it's very simply, our mission is to accomplish six things. To form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
Who knew? But I'll tell you something. You are not just speaking these things. You are reinterpreting them to mean what you see in terms of the ideal. Because I think that a lot of people would think, you know, going to war is right there. That's what we're supposed to do, go out and kill people who we don't like and who oppose our thinking or whatever, or who try to kill us, which is a good reason. And the domestic tranquility kind of thing, you know, that's like very interesting. There are a lot of people that think they should have guns because of that defense thing.
Okay, so let me back up and go form a more perfect union. Now, the insight I had about this statement, there's six objectives. And the perfect union is, I think of it as like a pyramid. It's the base, the perfect union. It's some total of the emergence of something that becomes more and more integrated, more and more working well within itself, making exchanges that are fluid and life-enhancing, because that's really all that's ever going on, are a bunch of exchanges. And so to form a more perfect union by fulfilling the four middle objectives, establishing justice, yes, we might argue over what is just as we continue to do, which is why we have a Supreme Court to be the final arbiter of what is just. But nevertheless, it's something we seek to attain. They didn't say it was easy. Evolution did not say, this is going to be easy. As a matter of fact, it's not easy. But one of the things we have learned, though, is that, and this is really a who knew, it's easy to be free. And that's what this America is all about. Easy to be free.
Was meant to be.
Did you ever want to go where you've never been before? Did you ever want to know things you've never known before? I'll take you there with me, and maybe then you'll see it's easy to be free. Yeah. Did you ever want to fly over rainbow skies so high? Did you ever wonder why people tell you not to try? I'll take you there with me, and maybe then you'll see it's easy to be free. Yeah, it's so easy to be free. Thank you. felt so good to feel the morning sun. And after all is said and done, I'm free. Did you ever want to go where you've never been before? Did you ever want to know things you've never known before? I'll take you there with me, and maybe then you'll see it's easy to be free. Yeah, it's so easy to be free.
It's so easy. And that was It's Easy to Be Free. Rochelle, can you guess who the singer was?
No, I can't. I was trying to. Okay.
Ricky Nelson.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Who knew? Ricky Nelson. My God, that's from my childhood, practically.
Very much practically speaking. Free to move. So imagine you come to this continent, and aside from some people who already live here and kind of think of it, if not their place, they're used to kind of having free reign around it, except when they bump into each other. These would be the Native Americans. But yet, I could see why it would go to their head to be able to have this vast land. Of course, they had no idea at first how vast it was.
At first, they had no idea how vast it was at all. They stayed within certain parameters. Very few of them went past those parameters. And if they bump into somebody else's perimeter, they fought them.
That's right. Right. So free, for example, it's a very important thing in this country to be free to own a gun. And ostensibly, especially if you go back to the time of the revolution, that would be important because the British government, the government of your country, needed to be able to protect yourself from them.
Yeah, but who knew at the time?
Right. Who knew that we would have AK-47s and these amazing explosives?
Yeah, a gun. It took a long time. You had to load it. You had to pull back something. You had to move something forward. By the time you got a shot off, guy could be gone.
He was already dead from boredom, waiting for you. So I did want to reemphasize this point, the establishing of justice, the ensuring of domestic tranquility. I mean, that to me is a showstopper. Domestic tranquility. Yes, I do interpret it safe at home. Domestic tranquility. I don't think that's a big stretch. Tranquil, peaceful, peace at home. That's something we strive for. And if you think of it in the largest perspective, not just as one of America's objectives, but from this more evolutionary or even spiritual perspective, establishing peace at home. And yet, within that, of course, there is enormous violence to be had. So the challenge is to balance the violence. And I'm thinking about the home as the universe and the violence as the starry clusters banging and exploding and gaseous flames bursting out all over and planets just spewing out everywhere, making a mess of space.
Who knew?
But that's where we are in this process.
I hate to ask you where you're going with this, but where are you going with this?
Why do you hate? Why would you hate to ask me?
Well, because it's just an expression. Maybe we can use it one day.
Okay. Where I'm going with this is in response to who knew the fact that we actually have these objectives built into our very national consciousness, and they are so resonant with the universal movement, as I understand it, toward peace. Safe and secure. That's how I interpret provide for the common defense. In other words, what are you defending against? Danger, possible attack, etc. The opposite of that is feeling safe, secure. Haven't we made national, quote-unquote, security the problem? What? You're looking around. A spy or something? So this would be a good time for you to come in with, if not a who knew, a commentary.
Oh, but you're doing so well, dear. Just keep going. You haven't taken a breath.
I like that. I don't know how to put it more succinctly other than to sum it up. Promote the general welfare. What is our general welfare? I think it's being healthy. Well, health and well-being. So you want health and well-being. You got peace. You've got safety and security. You got union. Wow. You're going to have the blessings of liberty if you can get those other things going. That's what we got to keep working toward, both within ourselves and within the larger community. If we want to engage with passion the fundamental purpose of our lives. Who knew?
Well, that was Errol Strider talking about 21st century interpretation of the United States mission statement.
That's right. Who knew? There's lots of things that we could think about, who knew. Lots of different surprises, personal and otherwise.
Who knew our life would be so complicated? Who knew that we would be so automated? No time to think, on the brink. Who knew? Who knew? Not me, not you, or anyone else. Come to think of it, it's true. We're misinformed and always want to look out. Who knew? Be ready to fabricate and navigate your personal fate. You've got to articulate, tolerate, then circulate. Rearrange and change your thing just to accommodate. Go there, be back, turn around, go back, hurry up, then wait, don't be late. Who knew? Sometime this year. Too much of this, not enough of that. Dislocate is where we're at. Sign of the times is here. Who knew?
That would have been J.J. Cale. Who knew?
I love it. You're good at this, Errol, finding songs that are just perfect for the show. Who knew you could find Who Knew?
So I just want to say one more thing about...
No.
Okay. But what would you like to address tonight in the Who Knew category, Rochelle?
Well, I mean, who knew that we really could fly beyond our physical form into the land of imagination as a grown-up? Who knew? And yet we can. And we do all the time. To realize that, who knew you could do something until you chose to try it? And then you would know. So who knew until you know?
Did you hear that? I want to bring in the rabbi just for a minute, Rabbi Moshe Greenberg. Rabbi, we're talking about who knew. What might you have to say about that?
Who knew? Hey, who knew?
this is something we've been saying for like forever. It was like the, instead of saying mama when we're born, every Jewish child that is born comes out of the womb and says, who knew? These are very precocious children.
You'd think that's because they're more aware of where they were. That they all of a sudden, they're humans, and who knew?
Who knew? They was like going to show up here, and they're going to see and do and think and feel and wonder and know something. And then the question is, how much of what they know is like real knowing? So you could say, who knew? As if you knew somebody who knew, and it was the same who that was who's on first. Remember those fellas? It's the same who. So it's who knew, the same fellow who was on first and then what's on second. And it comes back together because what happens is the Torah says, if you join with each other, you will experience freedom like you can't even imagine. It's like a freedom that's a mechaya.
Don't you realize, Rabbi, that most people are so afraid of that joining because they think instead of realizing how much they'll gain, they really believe they're going to lose something. They're going to lose themselves. And that's why they don't do it.
Okay. So let's say we have a passion for freedom. If, in fact, we do, some might regard the whole thing as jingoism. Is that the word? You know, touting the national America. And
is that what you're doing? Who knew?
There are a lot of reasons to be cynical about America, and there are a lot of things to celebrate. Many of those goals we've made some significant strides in achieving, not without the help of modern technology, mind you, and the ability to pass information so quickly amongst us. Thank God for the guy who invented the printing press.
I think that we lose sight of the mission statement, and you just kind of wander off and do a whole bunch of things. And I remember when I was an actress on Broadway, actors always have an intention, which is like a mission statement. It's like a through line. Sometimes they lose that. I don't know why, through maybe repetition or something. When you play the intention, it's always clean and pure. And this man said to me, you're losing your intention. He saw it, this other actor. And I got back to what I wanted, what was true and real for me. And the minute I did, my performance came alive again. And I think that getting back to that, especially with young people, to have them see what this mission statement truly can mean to them, how it personalizes to them, then all of a sudden you're back on board.
I had the same experience with the show I was directing. And we had embedded some wonderful little bits for him to do that were really funny in the show. It was a little play by Murray Shishko, and he was good at it. And we opened, and the show ran a while. And then I came back one, I didn't see it every night at that point. And I came back, and I had see he also had lost his intention. He got so caught up in the comic gadget, so to speak.
They weren't filled anymore. They was just playing.
Right. What was interesting was in the theater, Stanislavski created this notion of the super objective, which is what Rochelle's talking about, which has to do with this through line of a character. And every character has this kind of through line around which his whole psyche organizes.
For instance, if the character's intention in that moment is to eat, and then you give it meaning, he has to eat because he's hungry, but he has to eat.
That would be a very basic.
Right, very basic. But the thing is that he's driven by the need to eat, and then his personality and all the how he does all that stuff comes into play. So that's a very basic intention. But then you have more convoluted intentions, like to, what is the first one?
To become a more perfect union.
If that's the first intention, how do we become a more perfect union? What do we have to do? Am I unified enough in myself to be unified with anybody else?
So what I would say in coming back to that is one of the first things you have to do, it's why it's right there at number two, is establish justice. The first thing you do to begin to actively establishing justice.
Who knew that you were making this up?
Nobody knew. Well, you know, there is someone who knows, and I've been able to persuade him to run for office. He was a United States Senator. It's Senator Hubert Beauregard. Can you come in just for a minute? Senator Beauregard and tell us about your vision. I think you have a vision that's very consistent with what we're talking about.
I do. I was from southern Texas, and we lived around in the South, all over the South, different places, spent some time in Georgia and as well as Texas. But this is my vision, America, and I'm going to ask to see if you could vote. I'm forming with some other cohorts, and I use that term advisedly, cohorts. I'm forming what we call the Human Party. The Human Party. And the Human Party has a very simple agenda. And that is, we recognize that this is a party that's been thrown for us by the powers that be. And our job as, let's say, Americans or citizens of this here country is to make sure everybody can come to the party. It's not complicated.
Wow, I like that. Open invitation to come to the party. America is a big party country. They'll come if it's a party.
And look at what happens at a party. Why do y'all like the party? I expect I'm preaching to the choir here, the party goers, as opposed to the party poopers. But we'll get to the party poopers in just a wee bit here. But the party goers said, well, one thing, y'all like to drink, you like to eat, you like to get slushy, you like to satisfy your sensual appetites, you like to just hobnob with your friends and make jokes and get all excited about sporting events, and that's a party, and you don't have to do anything. So that's the thing about a party, is you don't have to do anything. You don't have to party like you have to have money to live. You understand where I'm coming from? That's what the party has to provide for people. It's a space where they can be free to be themselves in relationship to other people who are happy to be themselves in relationship to you. The Human Party.
I hate to put a bubble in your burst, but...
I would hate that too. God, doesn't that sound obscene?
I was terrified of going to parties when I was young. They were totally intimidating. I never felt free to be me at a party with a whole bunch of people that I never had met before. I felt constrained. I felt awkward, not beautiful. I felt all the most negative things in the world. It was like so painful. It was almost as painful as going to the dentist.
Would you say that you felt alone and forsaken?
Yeah. Who knew? But yeah.
Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold to my hand. Help me understand. Where has she gone to? Oh, where can she be? She may have forsaken some other like me. To love and obey. Each crown was a plaything that she threw away. Alone and forsaken by fate and by man. Oh Lord, if you hear me, please hold to my hand. Help me understand.
Who knew?
Alone and Forsaken, Tim O'Brien. So I'm imagining, as I was listening to that song, individuals strewn about, let's say if all of humanity was like on this very large football field, for example.
All of it?
Yeah, just throw them all in there.
We're in a round spherical ball.
Yeah, but just to get them all together, have them all come over and get in this field. We're going to do a picture for the Guinness Book of Records. How many billion people can you get?
Trillion. Don't we in trillions, people?
Billion.
No. Oh, debt that's in trillions.
Yeah, right. Billions of people, trillions of debt.
Okay.
And what's wrong with this picture?
I got it. So how many billion people are we?
I think we're 6-7 billion at this point, and we're multiplying rapidly. It's all that same phenomenon. It does it every single time. People cannot not do it, evidently.
Yeah, but, hello. We were programmed for that one.
But on the other side, and it goes back to the former More Perfect Union, every dilemma, and I believe this is enlarging the context into evolution, every dilemma that we encounter in terms of perpetuating our life that may block that, gratifying our life that may block that, maintaining our life, those three institutions of self-maintenance, self-perpetuation, and self-gratification are essentially the three major institutions of humankind that we're struggling to achieve.
Who knew you would be getting a seminar tonight? I know you didn't know that, but this is free. It's coming to you live, and you can get an edited version of this exact seminar. Go to estrider@gmail.com.
And a reminder, our show is sponsored by Go Raw, for whom we're very grateful. You can get Go Raw organic section of Costco, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, or go to the Go Raw website, goraw.com. Find out where you can go in your neighborhood to get something that's going to really be great, especially if you get the munchies. I can't think of a better thing for that. So we're talking about who knew, and so that implies to me several things. Past tense, who knew back then? It doesn't say who knows or who's going to know. It says
right.
Who knew.
And it could be a reminder.
How's that?
Well, you say, who knew that if you don't look where you're walking, you will fall down? So it's a reminder.
There are so many surprises that can come our way that can trigger, if not an who knew, at least an awe.
You know what happened to me the other day? I was driving on this small road, and to the side of me was a large truck who began moving just as I got to where he was. And his back of the truck was coming within inches of the front of me. And my whole brain went to stop, stop, stop. And I was saying stop, stop. I didn't have the presence of mind to back up. So I started honking. And his son, the man who was driving's son, was able to see out the back window, and he yelled, stop. And his dad stopped, literally 3 inches. Is that 3 inches?
That's actually an inch.
Oh, well, okay, that much, 3 inches.
That's one of the things that happens when you get older. Your sense of inches diminishes. So you think 1 inch is 3 inches because you've lost those 3 inches in height.
Well, 3 inches, that close. It was pretty spooky. Just his truck kept coming at me. And who knew when I turned that thing that guy would be there?
There can be those surprises. I think it's about getting in the flow. And I think getting in the flow where, like, you're working with life and you're not bumping up against it is when you actually seek to form a more perfect union. At the risk of belaboring this point, I am going to, in fact, belabor it just a little more.
Oh, yeah, we're in for a bumpy ride.
Yeah, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, this is it.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
And they wrote that Constitution. So even though we celebrate the 4th of July, I think it's really important to remember that any freedom that we celebrate comes as a result of union. You can't have one without the other. The only reason the colonies were able to break free from Mother England was they united. Therein is the lesson.
Can I throw a bubble into your burst?
Bubble away. What do you got?
Okay, so some people believe that the true nature of freedom is to be able to be alone. They go into union, but not union with each other. They feel more free by themselves than they do in union with other people, because there's a freedom that we can come to in union is very mature, because we don't give our power away to other, which a lot of people do, but the true union that can happen between human beings necessitates one being fully themselves. Because if you go into union unformed, what happens is that you move into a resistance when you start growing. You get enmeshed. So it's that union is the union we're really talking about, not just any union. It's a union that is truly uniting two wholes. The states that existed, they were each very whole and very unto themselves, but they got together, these whole beings, to join because they didn't want to give their power away to another out there, which was England, of course. That's my observation, but who knew?
Let me just mention this. If you go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, that's thelaughingheart.org, I've written an essay, which is on the first page. That's how important I think this is, called Uncommon Sense. And it's a much more detailed and elaborate examination of this whole notion of the preamble being our mission. But it also provides some suggestions for actual things that could be done to enhance it. So check it out, thelaughingheart.org. In addition, Rochelle and I had the opportunity to present this concept, if you will, to a high school group, American High School, right out here in California, in Fremont, California, arguably the most ethnically diverse community in at least Northern California. And there was about 60 sophomores and their family were invited to this session that these people, Errol and Rochelle Strider, who none of them ever heard of, were going to talk. And I'm not sure if they even knew the subject, but we did, in fact, do a program about this preamble, about this mission statement, but not stupid enough, I'm idiotic in other ways, which I won't go into, but I wasn't stupid enough to think that we could just talk about it and just use language like we're doing here tonight, that we had to get them engaged, get them in their bodies, get them creative with it, get them to essentially recognize it in terms of their own experience and help them to see how relevant it was to them and their lives. And we were very pleased that we got they wrote essays. That's why most of them went to take it. They were going to get extra credit, and they wrote these essays. And in the essays, many commented they expected to be bored to death, but it started making sense in terms of their own lives. So I believe it's possible, but I believe it's important to interface people at stages of their life and in context in which they're more likely to be open to that kind of thought process.
Who knew?
It comes back to that, doesn't it? I don't want to go away entirely from the gung-ho, we're America, we celebrate, aren't we great? Because we are, and there is a greatness. And like all greatness, of course, it works best when accompanied with humility. But let's just take a minute to just appreciate this national thing called America and all that it has meant to so many.
Back again, they come into America. Lord, it seems so far away, but we're traveling light today. In the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm. To a new and a shining place, make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm, freedom's light burning warm. America, every time that flag's unfurled, they come into America. Got a dream to take them there, they come into America. Got a dream they got to share, they come into America.
I think that the big thing that people came to this country because they had dreams that would not take root in the soil where they were. They couldn't plant them, and they knew that they could plant them here. And I think that's a big difference. People come here, they want to get rich, they want to be taken care of. A lot of people come to this country because it's a free ride. But when my grandfather came to this country, it was to really plant roots to make his dreams come true. And there were people like that today, but there are also people today, and I don't know if they were as much in the early 20th century.
Well, driven by necessity, that's a big thing. Probably Neil Diamond, who sang that song. Parents or grandparents probably came from the old world. I would guess, Jewish boy growing up in New York City, a lot of those people were first and second generations. The land of opportunity. This land is your land. This land is my land.
Well, sometimes we say this land is my land and you get out of here.
We did that a lot at the beginning, didn't we?
We still do.
We still fight over territory, and that's just part of the evolution. I mean, evolution isn't all neat. Evolution's poopy as well as springtime and flower growing, but it actually seems to work well with integrating the poopy parts of life as it moves into the soil and the muck of the earth, and it forms the foundation. I mean, this is an extraordinary opportunity from the point of living in a universe where we're thrust down into this dense environment, earth, and we literally are of that earth. And out of that earthiness comes consciousness and the ability to think and the ability to strive for.
So what you're saying is put the poop in the earth, and it'll raise consciousness. Leave the poop on the sidewalk, and you're likely to fall down and hurt yourself.
Who knew? I did not know I was saying that, but what do I know? You know, I just work here. What I'm saying is that part of our mission, why we do this show, is to share our excitement about being consciously a part of this evolutionary thrust, this super objective that Rochelle and I share, which is very beautiful. And I think that's amazing that we have that common
focus. He gets it on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I get it on and Sunday.
This is her joke practice class, by the way.
And share it. So
thank you for indulging us. We do practice jokes here.
Well, the one thing I'm aware of is that we share our perspective, you know, and we have a perspective that we share, which is kind of fun. And it gets us through the days when we'd like to probably dismember each other from a very ancient gene pool.
Right.
To realize that there's humor in all of this, you know, it sounded very serious, but the humor is that we bumble around. it's like we try to fit into each other so we can unify. And we bumble around because we don't see places that we can come into union. So we bang around each other and, until you see that place where you can connect.
Who knew? It reminds me of that little poem that I wrote. We're all gathered in a wash, like bubbles, clinging, and then cleansed by each other, helping to explode our shells, each leaving a vacuum waiting to be filled by God, waiting to be filled by God. Who knew? To me, God is that fundamental unifying energy. It's amazing because it actually provides the life that we live, and at the same time, it provides the wherewithal to improve and enhance that life. And that's really the bottom line, I believe.
So I can't use the word God. I can't, because whatever this God is, it's so much beyond my ken or my understanding. And so I like to refer to that phenomenon that we have called God and try to fit into our own image of ourselves. I like to refer to that phenomenon as the mystery.
I would just suggest you don't minimize or trivialize your ken. I mean, I felt you were kind of putting down your ken.
I love the word ken. Yeah. I read this book by Deanna Appledon. It's Scottish. You ken. You say something and you go, you ken, like you know.
Oh, it's like you
ken.
Know. Oh, okay.
I ken. I know.
So it's what you think you know, then, your ken. That's what, in the context
not
of the
ken. Not a ken, a
ken.
Ken. Ken is the relative.
Did you get that distinction, folks? It's ken, not ken, you're knowing. So this was beyond your ken.
God is beyond my ken.
You said it's a mystery. The very word it's a mystery just makes you want to say, who knew, doesn't it? Because you thought you could know it, and not only that, control it. Think about religion for centuries. It's been all about knowing the right way, the one way, and then
the only way.
People.
And still, what do you mean? It exists today more than ever. And that's the biggest threat to the world, to humanity, is when one being wants to dominate another. So when a group of beings want to dominate another group of beings because they think their way is the only way, and anybody who doesn't adhere to that way is to be eliminated.
That reminds me, I don't know if you knew this, they've got a new chapter of Infidel Anonymous that's just opening up down the road here. And you have these people, and they stand up and they say, my name is John and I am an infidel. And of course, 12-step meetings, everybody says, hi, John. Yeah, I'm an infidel. I didn't know I was an infidel, but then these guys over there dressed differently and use different words. They said I was an infidel. And, you know, I'm doing my best not to, one day at a time, I'm not an infidel. And of course, the next guy gets up who says, I was an infidel, and I was an infidel from other country, and they thought I was like infidel, and so they tried to kill me.
Errol, you're just bad. That's all there is. You're just bad. You come up with these things. You think, I go to the bad joke school. Oh, my God.
Well, this wasn't a joke. This was a point of view.
Yeah, well, it was.
Well, we're going to have to kind of wrap it up here. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Today was Who Knew, our sponsor, Go Raw. Before we did this show, I could have said Who Knew, but things have a way of coming together when you participate in the direction that life is going. Union, justice, harmony, blessings, freedom, all of that. What else can we say about it, Rochelle, when you come right down to it? What do we have to remember?
Are you asking me what we have to remember?
Yeah.
Oh, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Who knew?